pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, global patriots. Yes, you're listening to the Vito Esposito Show on Monday on Blog Talk Radio. We're back. Hey, there's no technical difficulties today. Our call-in number tonight in every global patriot radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that great American Big Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Vito. Good to be here as always. How was your week?
It was good. It was a little frustrating last Monday night, so we apologize to all of our listeners, podcasters. We were supposed to be on last Monday night at 6 o'clock. It was Patriots Day, or President's Day, excuse me. And once again, Blog Talk was down for technical difficulties, and they never came back up. So we do apologize, especially those that we sent I sent out so many Twitter and emails and stuff out. But we're back today, and, you know, not much has changed. Had a good week, played a little golf. How about you?
Yeah, did the same. My game is finally getting back into shape, and that's good.
That is good. Very nice. That's good to hear. You need to get that handicap down. You're capable of it. You know, you could do it.
It's in there somewhere. Just got to fight those golf demons, and they are a nasty bunch.
Yeah, I tried out a new toy the other day, and I really like it. So it's really. I tried out a Titleist TS2 rescue club, a 19-degree rescue club, and oh my goodness!
Yeah.
Oof.
Sweet.
I used it. Yeah, you know what? The dang thing goes, man. It's just I can see why a lot of the pros are using the Titleist clubs, man. That thing is really, really hot. So we'll see if it stays in the bag.
Well, good luck with that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I'll have to see it. It was a demo model, so I get a good little discount on it, and now I got to figure out how to keep it from the wife.
Won't hurt her.
You know, last week was President's Day, last Monday, and just to reaffirm, Joe Biden is still the worst president in U.S. history, and at least Jimmy Carter now can be at peace, knowing he's no longer the worst president, that Joe Biden easily surpassed him. A shout-out to Hank Jones and Mrs. Hank welcoming their first grandchild, a baby boy. So God bless them all, and great news for the Hank Jones family. That's just absolutely awesome. I know he's ecstatic. Hard to believe that Hank's a grandfather. Mamma mia. The PGA was in Mexico for the Mexican Open this past week, and Sunday came down to two rookies, Jake Knapp and Sami Valimaki from Finland, who secured his PGA card by his top 10 finish last year in the DP Euro Tour. Jake Knapp jumped out to a lead on Saturday. He shot an impressive 8 under 63. He was looking for his first PGA Tour win. He's overcome many injuries. Then on Sunday, he was in a hold-on mood. He shot an even par 71. Valimaki was impressive on the front nine. He pulled into a tie after nine holes with Knapp, but then he faltered off the tee. He had an untimely bogey on the 10th hole. He hit his tee shot into the water, bogeyed the hole. Knapp then increased his lead to two shots from hole 14 and in. Then, I got to say, Al, I was really impressed with Jake Knapp. This guy only hit two greens, which means that in regular – if it's a par four, you're on the green in two. That's regulation. Well, Jake Knapp only hit two greens all day, two fairways all day in regulation. And he was chipping a lot to say, you know, to get up and down to save par, and he did that. I mean, he drained five-footers, he drained six-footers down the and this is under a stressful situation. His putting was fantastic. And in the end, Jake Knapp won by two shots over Sammy Valmaki at 19 under par. So congratulations. He gets his first PGA Tour win. And I'll tell you what, Sammy Valmaki, just know the name, because that young man is going to also be on the radar, I think, this year. He's got game. I remember him from the DP Tour. I followed him because I love the name, Valmaki. And so he did fantastic.
Yeah, and he was almost a professional hockey player. So he's a big boy, too.
Yeah. So, but congratulations to Jake Knapp, an American. He gets his first PGA Tour win, and I think with the swing that he has, it's somebody that we may be seeing a lot more at the in the coming down to the end on a Sunday afternoon. So,
yeah, he's got a nice, easy swing, and it's, you watch it and you go, I could duplicate that, and it's a. Nothing fancy. It's very, it's the basics done exceptionally well. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. And he's powerful, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was a bouncer.
Before, oh, yeah.
Before he played in the tournament, he was a bouncer and had to kick two or three people on average per night out of the bar that he was bouncing in. Who's ever heard? I never heard of a professional golfer. Was a bouncer, and then became a PGA pro. That's awesome.
It really is. He's living a dream.
I tell you. That tells you something. The golfing world is tough to make it into the bigs, and once you make it into the bigs, to make it into the winning elites is quite a rarity. So,
one half of
1%. Kudos. Yep. Kudos to Jack. And there's a lot of good golfers out there. Just like you said, look at that DP Tour, and they are PGA quality players. So it's tough.
Yeah.
It's a tough business.
Hey, let's give a shout out to the ladies too, because the LPGA was in Thailand for the Honda Open, Honda LPGA Thailand in Chonburi, Thailand, and I gotta tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this lady is incredible. Patty Tavent. I'm gonna screw it up. Tava Tanakit. She won for the second week in a row. This 24-year-old had some issues, and she had to take a break from the LPGA. She came back a new attitude, and she now has won her second tournament in a row, her second LPGA career victory as well, and she is absolutely incredible. So the name to watch in 2024 is Patty Tavatanakit. She beat Albany Valenzuela by one shot, and I just really like Patty's game as well. She has got a beautiful swing, so...
Yep, right. Congratulations to her. Awesome achievement.
Of course, last Monday night, too, while we were supposed to be on the air, the NASCAR was finishing up their great race, the Daytona 500, and then number 24, Bowman, wins the race, and it was delayed a day due to poor weather down in Florida. I guess it rained torrentially on Sunday, so they moved the race till Monday, and it was a pretty good race, so give a shout out to them. We have a 8-minute update on Israel. This is a great video. Al had tweeted it out today, and as Al stated before the show, when we were talking, that many people have forgotten that the war is still going on. What we also have to remember is that this just didn't start on October the 7th, 2023. This was absolutely pushed to the envelope on October 7, 2023. Hamas has been in power, or since the creation of Hamas in 1997, the foreign terrorist organization Hamas has terrorized Israel. They have killed Jews in Israel. When they got into power in 2003, Hamas turned up their terroristic acts. Islamic jihads blew up buses, killing innocent Jews in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. They blew up cafes and hotels and restaurants, Tel Aviv, Haifa, and other cities across Israel. So Hamas's war didn't just start on October 7th, 2023. It was an awakening to the world what Israel was going through for the last 37 years. And even before that, there was terrorism. We knew back in 1976 in the Olympics, 1972 Olympics in Munich, the Palestinians want the Jews dead. And on October 7, 2023, Hamas and Iran did the final straw. And so here is an update, and in case you all have not been following what's been going on with regards to Israel defending herself and the fact that Hamas is still engaged in acts of terrorism, in killing Jews and wanting to destroy Israel, sit back and listen very carefully how Iran is still engaged in arming the terrorist organization Hamas.
Welcome to Raptor News Channel. Unexpected blow from Israel. Iranian trucks exploded in the air. They were all carrying important materials. All plans were disrupted. In addition, new tunnels and commanders were found within the Gaza Strip. Tens of thousands of weapons passed under Israeli control at different points. Today is Israel's day. If you're ready, let's quickly examine the breaking news through maps and real images. The first news of the day is from Khan Yunus City. Hamas began the day by launching an attack. Terrorists from a neighborhood attempted to attack Israel's outpost in the region with explosives. Immediately after the attack, Israel began to advance towards the neighborhood from which the terrorists emerged for control. As they passed through the neighborhood, explosive materials were thrown at the soldiers from a building. The soldiers immediately responded by firing at the building. With the support of tanks, they besieged the building and neutralized the terrorists who were throwing explosives outside. It was understood that the individuals who had previously left the neighborhood also came from this building. Soldiers examining the building found an explosive depot connected to the basement floor. Since the terrorists could not use a large amount of explosives here, they preferred to throw them like this to expend them. However, since they could not finish all the material in a short time, now all the material has passed under Israel's control. They can use these explosives to blow up the tunnels in the region. Secondly, near the neighborhoods where these operations were carried out, things continued to be chaotic. There were very intense clashes in the region. We mentioned that Israel had control at the neighborhood level in Khan Yunus City, but they had not yet controlled all the buildings. Soldiers continued to inspect the buildings one by one. Today, chaos spread throughout the entire neighborhood due to clashes that erupted in a building they inspected. It was as if a fuse had been lit, and all the terrorists in the neighborhood became active. The first incident began with soldiers inspecting a building suspected of something. It was very suitable for hiding something due to its location. As soon as the soldiers entered the building, the terrorists hiding under the stairs and in the corners of the rooms opened fire. Soldiers, using drones to locate those inside through the door, rapidly advanced by throwing flashbang grenades and neutralized all the terrorists. When they examined the building later, it turned out to be a very large weapons depot. Everything from rockets to sniper rifles was found in the depot. Hamas members inside were already there to protect these weapons. They could not protect the weapons, and all control passed to the Israeli army. During the same hours when the clashes occurred, there was a sniper panic in the neighborhood. When Israeli soldiers enter a building, they place snipers on the roofs. This prevents attacks from behind or from a distance. Today, there were very tense moments between snipers and terrorists as soldiers controlled the building. Soldiers trying to approach were neutralized by the Israeli sniper on the roof. Although Hamas members tried to retaliate, trained soldiers managed to prevail over them. In addition, snipers saw a Hamas member trying to place explosives very close to where the soldiers were. They intervened from a distance and prevented the building from being blown up. Thirdly, the events in the neighborhood did not stop there. The group that revealed the first described weapons depot identified other structures in the neighborhood. There was a medical laboratory working for Hamas in the area. We are talking about a facility that treats Hamas members and produces medical supplies for them. Inside, there were likely bandages, drug-like substances to alert soldiers, and stretchers. Even treated Hamas terrorists may have been found. In the end, this center was shut down, and individuals working for Hamas were arrested. As all these events unfolded one after another, we can say that the center of Khan Yunus is truly in a chaotic state today. As the fourth item on the agenda, we are heading to the Lebanon-Syria border. Today, one of the long-awaited operations was carried out. Just today, the defense minister had made statements. According to the minister, Israel has recently begun to focus heavily on the Lebanese border. In fact, by shifting soldiers from Gaza and other units, they want to completely control the Lebanese border and eliminate Hezbollah. Indirectly, we can say they aim to deliver significant blows to Iran, because Iran saw the war involving Israel as an opportunity and started launching attacks on Israel from all fronts. Iran-backed terrorists are attacking Israel from the north and south in various ways. Almost all of their weapons and funds are directly provided by Iran. This is an undesirable situation. We had mentioned for the past few days that Iran was trying to smuggle weapons through Lebanon. They are transporting weapons using the north of Syria and Lebanon. Intelligence satellites and drones are trying to locate these weapons. Today, one of the largest shipments was found. It was observed that a convoy of trucks was about to enter Lebanon via the main northern road. The shipment contained a large number of weapons and materials. Moreover, terrorists usually use small vehicles to avoid being noticed by Israel. Today, with Iran's support, they took the risk of using large trucks. This caught Israel's attention. F-35 fighter jets urgently took off from Israeli territory. By flying over Lebanon and remaining unseen by the air defense systems in Syria, they managed to reach the border. They then launched their missiles in succession and blew up the convoy heading towards Lebanon. Later, shared photos confirmed that the trucks had disappeared and the terrorists inside had been neutralized. The convoy supported by Iran was thus destroyed at risk. Given the size of the trucks and the convoy, we can say that approximately a month's worth of materials for terrorists was present here. It's a significant success for Israel. Returning to the Lebanon border, at the same hours when this incident occurred, Hezbollah launched a severe attack on Israeli cities. They fired numerous missiles from villages behind the border. Most of these missiles landed in the city of Kiryat. Some were intercepted by the air defense systems. Normally, Hezbollah did not carry out such large-scale attacks. It is believed that this attack was carried out to draw attention. They aimed to keep Israel's attention on the border to protect the shipment in the north. However, things didn't go as planned. Israeli intelligence once again saw the positive effects of spreading over large areas. In the remaining parts of the border, there were small-scale attacks. Israel and Hezbollah retaliated by firing missiles. Villages behind the border were targeted. In one village, a building was found where terrorists from different places gathered for meetings. They probably determined where and how to attack through these secret meetings. Of course, they forgot that drones were constantly monitoring certain areas when they came to the building. The identified building was blown up by aircraft approaching the border. The terrorists and their gathering place were easily destroyed. Lastly, we're heading to the West Bank region. As you may remember, yesterday one of the most wanted leaders in the region was neutralized. The leader of Hamas, who was involved in numerous incidents and organized attacks, was neutralized here through a drone operation. Today, Israeli soldiers, seeing the incident as an opportunity, conducted operations in six cities. armored vehicles entered the cities and conducted extensive searches. Although clashes occurred in some places, the soldiers managed to quickly gain control of the area. At the moment, identified houses and places assisting the leader are still being searched. There will likely be numerous weapons and materials found in the area. With the terrorists in the region leaderless, everything will be easier. Let's see how the situation will change. We will continue to keep you informed about the situation. For now, we have reached the end of our video. We will...
So Al, now we're hearing the term West Bank. The Hamas leaders have fled to, it's been reported they fled to Qatar, and they have now fled into the West Bank. So Israel's war on terror is only just continuing because of the mission statement by the Muslim Brotherhood, and that is to annihilate Israel from the river to the sea.
Pretty much exactly that. Islam will destroy Israel as it has obliterated others before it, and that's right out of the Hamas charter. I said it wrong. Islam will obliterate Israel as it has obliterated others before it, and that's right in their constitution. So the destruction of Israel. Now the jihadis moving into the West Bank is not anything new, because Israel in 1967 won Gaza and the West Bank. And what they did in Gaza is they have three different Israel controls some parts. Israel gave partial control to the Muslims, Palestinians, and then they gave full control some areas of what's called the West Bank. So Israel tried to, as they did in Gaza, they left Gaza in 2005 completely, and they tried this policy of coexistence that failed in Gaza when Hamas breached the border along with civilians and murdered 1,200 Israelis, and that was the start of the war. So now it's going into the West Bank, and they're also being attacked, and we talked earlier, by Iran up in northern Israel out of Lebanon and Syria. So this is a multi-front war happening as we speak.
So basically, Iran is funding the acts of terror. Right now, it's been proven, actually not right now, but over the last 20 years, it's been proven that a two-state solution does not work, because Hamas, a foreign terrorist organization, has no interest in having peace with Israel. They could live in peace. They could actually have the Mediterranean portion of Gaza flourish, and the terrorist organization of Hamas has chosen jihad over peace. So how does a two-state solution work?
Well, in Gaza, it worked from it. Ariel Sharon, one of the past presidents of Israel, tried this policy of coexistence with Hamas and the Palestinians. So they left Gaza in 2005. There are 1.3 million Palestinians in Gaza. And then a year and a half after Israel left and gave full control of that land on the beautiful Mediterranean to the Palestinian people, there was hopes that Europe would come in and give them money and then build up in peace without Israel having anything to do with that land, and that they would build, prosper, and out of that peace and prosperity would be peace with Israel. But the exact opposite happened, because the people of the Palestinian people, the Gazans, they voted in Hamas, a designated terrorist group that we all know so well. And then from 2007 until 2024, this coexistence policy was in operation, and it failed miserably. And it's failing in the West Bank, and now it can't work. When someone wants to destroy you, Vito, and obliterate you, take them at their word.
Now, you've been to the northern border of Israel between both Lebanon and Syria. What is it like, you know, when you're at that border of Lebanon? Is it a vast expanse of land, or are there cities that are right there? I mean, what is it that what would give Iran the ability to utilize Lebanon as a base to attack Israel?
Well, they're building tunnels from Lebanon into Israel. We went in to one of these tunnels. It was over 100 feet deep into the rock, and they use that as offensive tunnels to go into Israel, kill and kidnap people, just like they did in Gaza. So they have arms. They use the houses. They run the government. They run that whole area, Hezbollah, which is a proxy of Iran. They have rockets, hundreds of thousands of rockets they have yet to fire. So, yeah, they're there, and nobody is stopping them. That is a full proxy of Iran in Syria and Lebanon. So they have free reign over there, and nothing has peaceful intent.
So in the first part of the audio, we learned that Iran has trucks coming in to Gaza, and they're apparently carrying explosives because they blew up very easy. They find rockets and sniper rifles, in this building, and they find more tunnels, which are directly funded by Iran. So here again, how do you call for peace if, in fact, Iran is fueling the fire of this hatred and arming the Hamas terrorists?
Well, part of what you're seeing, at least here in the United States, is you're seeing when anyone calls for a ceasefire, calling to, quote, end the war, that means that they support Hamas. And the people that are driving these protests are primarily Antifa, the Marxists, and the Democrat Party, and they are working hand-in-hand with the Hamas supporters. So when somebody calls for a ceasefire, they're supporting Israel, and then you're seeing genocide everywhere. In fact, there is a U.S. Air Force active duty soldier who set himself on fire in front of the Israeli embassy yesterday in protest. And as he was burning, he was yelling, "Free Palestine, free Palestine, stop the genocide." And what this poor soldier, if he had done any research, he would know that in 2005, the population in Gaza was 1.35 million. And in 2024, the population in Gaza is 2.5 million. Now, that is the worst genocide in world history for a population to double and then call the Israelis that they're committing a genocide. It's idiotic and it's stupid. And anyone who talks about genocide, they can't explain away the population numbers. So they're just morons. And this soldier took his own life for lies.
Yeah, lies supported by this regime, the Biden-Obama alumni regime, who's been are the masters of disinformation and misinformation, and of course they're not doing anything to squash this this movement that's being led by Hamas terror supporters Rashida Tlaib and Omar Ahmad. Of course, no one's talking about the United Nations and their sponsored organization, and that would be the UNRWA. The UNRWA is the United Nations Relief and Work Organization. And the UNRWA, it's found that they were delivering, here we go, I-24 News exclusive, Israel finds six drones amid UNRWA donations that entered West Bank this week. February 15, 2024, UNRWA donations that entered into the West Bank from Jordan through the Allenby Bridge earlier this week contained six military drones. I-24 News military correspondent Matthias Inbar has learned from Israeli security forces. The drones have been confiscated by Israeli security forces. So, first of all, you have the UNRWA and 35,000 employees are embedded in the West Bank and Gaza. And then 12 sacrificial employees of the UNRWA are outed as having participated in the genocide raid on October the 7th, 2023. What happened to the other 34,988 employees of the UNRWA? They are Hamas sympathizers, and now we know the UNRWA is engaged with Iran in getting drones smuggled through Jordan. So I think it's time that we defund the United Nations, the useless nations, because not only is the UN, United Nations, and UNRWA undermining the peace efforts in Israel. The UNRWA employees partook in attacking Israel on October 7, 2023. The UNRWA and the United Nations are actively funding the invasion of America through our southern borders. Yes, from Panama and northern Colombia, the Darien Gap, into the United States, into Eagle Pass, the United Nations, the UNRWA, aid that is a department that's funded by American taxpayers to the tune of over $50 billion. It's run by the Marxist Samantha Power, formerly of the Barack Hussein Sotoro Obama regime. They have over 10,000 employees, and they are funding the invasion of America into America by illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens. U.S. aid, UNRWA, United Nations are funding the EU. The EU is funding the invasion into America. So we have a global effort here, ladies and gentlemen, between funding terrorists to attack Israel, Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, and also the invasion of illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens pouring through our southern border. And this is policy, okay? This is a result of policy. The invasion of America is a policy of one Joe Biden. End of story. Okay, Joe Biden is not man enough, and he's not sane enough to take the blame, to take responsibility for his actions. His actions, which has caused 12 to 15 million unvetted, unvaccinated, illegal aliens to pour through America's southern border. And for 1,133 days, Joe Biden and the Obama alumni regime have avoided America's southern border. They've avoided the issue. They have placed blame on the Trump administration for the border crisis. That's an absolute lie. Joe Biden has been an abject failure, but by design. He was put in place, installed to do exactly what we're seeing today. Ineffective. He's weak spined. And of course, he has no idea what day it is. So he doesn't have to worry about taking responsibility. And in the end, we have a war going on between Russia and Ukraine, we think anyways. And now Israel has been attacked, our ally, which the Biden and Obama alumni regime do not support. They do not support Israel. And it's tough to say that, but it's easy to say that because the Democrat Party has a history. forget about the Truman, President Truman, and granting statehood in 1948 to Israel. That certainly was a great move by President then President Truman. But that's where it ended, folks. Because going back to the Clintons, going back to Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, and now with Joe Biden and the Obama alumni regime, they do not support Israel. And sadly, the American Jews have been misled, just like the African Americans have been misled in America. And the American Jews are nothing but a pawn for the Democrat Party. And in the end, now we have two devout fundamental Islamists in the United States House of Representatives who support a foreign terrorist organization, Hamas. Go to the State Department's list of foreign terrorist organizations. And Hamas was declared a foreign terrorist organization in October of 1997. Yet we have two devout fundamental Muslims who support this terrorist organization, Hamas. At one time, there used to be a sense of patriotism for not only for America, but for our allies. And I'm talking about Rashida Mother Effort Tlaib and incestuous Ilhan Omar. Omar elevates, you know, Somalia and wants a Somalia first. And yet she condemns President Trump for putting America first. Well, excuse me, incestuous Ilhan Omar. You are a member of the United States House of Representatives, not the Somalian House of Representatives. But if you want to represent Mogadishu, by all means, leave. And then you have Rashida Mother Effort Tlaib, which tomorrow is the Michigan primary, presidential primary, and it's great because Rashida Mother Effort Tlaib has now enlisted all of her fellow pro-Hamas supporters to not vote for Joe Biden. Let's send a message. Oh, really? So you support Hamas attacking Israel, Rashida Tlaib. You support the raping of Israeli women, Rashida Tlaib. You support the attack by Hamas, which is sponsored by Iran, Rashida Tlaib. You support the river to the sea that is calling for the total annihilation of Israel, Rashida Tlaib. And where is the extreme Hakeem Jeffries holding his fellow Democrat Party members accountable for their actions, for this hatred? And yet, Rashida Mother Effort Tlaib occupies a seat in Congress. And now she is defecting from the Democrat Party mantra in support of dopey Joe Biden and calling for her brothers and sisters of Islam to not vote for Joe tomorrow, which is comical. It's great. Love to see the dissension inside the destructive Democrat Party, because not only is the Democrat Party seeking to dismantle and destroy our constitutional republic, now with the attack by the foreign terrorist organization Hamas onto Israel, and Israel now defending herself, the true colors of these treasonous SOBs in the United States House of Representatives comes out front and center. And then frauds like Jamie Raskin and all the Jewish members of the United States House of Representatives, they all go deaf, dumb, and blind. So kudos to Israel for continuing their movement in wiping out Hamas, because Hamas calls for the annihilation of Israel. Hamas has not been made by the United Nations to scrap their charter in the name of peace. And now you have all these morons in the United Nations calling for a two-state solution. Well, I'll just pointed out very eloquently, there have been two states. And guess what? Hamas doesn't want to live in peace. They call for the total annihilation from the river to the sea of Israel. And make no mistake, that's the same sentiment from those Muslims who live in the West Bank. I would say 99.9% of them in the West Bank as well. And it's okay that the West Bank, that the hierarchy in the West Bank harbors the terrorists of Hamas inside the Palestinian Authority. But hey, you can't talk about that. I mean, come on, Vito, why would you talk about something like that? And then you have ignoramuses like President Lula of Brazil, that Marxist midget, makes a statement stating that Israel's committing genocide against the Palestinians, which is absolutely absurd. Lula supports Hamas. He's a classic left-winger. America is the main enemy, but Israel is firmly in America's camp. So it must be anathemized, and the extraordinary charge Lula makes against the IDF, that it is behaving like Nazis with the Jews creating a Holocaust in Gaza, is so crazed that one must conclude Lula's anti-Israel animus has developed into a full-blown case of peculiar mental disease known as anti-Semitism. And that was from Robert Spencer. Comparing Israel's attempt to defend itself by trying to dismantle Hamas after the worst massacre of Jews since World War II to those who murdered 6 million Jews in the Holocaust is grotesque. Does Lula not really know what is going on in the Gaza war? And which side is trying to minimize and which side is trying to maximize harm to civilians? And that's what these Marxists want to distract from. The fact is that Hamas had set their sights to annihilate Israel. October 7th, with the help of Iran, an Islamic terrorist state, they made a mistake. They poked the bear, they woke the bear, and now Israel is defending herself, and rightly so. And for any leader, whether it's Lula in Brazil or Xi in China or Dopey Joe, to condone any type of terrorist activity in a sovereign state is reprehensible. The condemnation is on Islam, or should be on Islam, that calls for the annihilation of Israel. The condemnation should be against Israel. Should be against Islam. Chapter 9, verse 5. So when the forbidden months are past, so kill the polytheists wherever you find them. Take them as captives. Besiege them and lay wait with every kind of ambush. Huh? You want the playbook for Islam? Chapter 4, verse 71. Oh, you have believed. Take your precautions. So go to war in separate groups or go to war altogether. Chapter 4, verse 84. So engage in war for the sake of Allah. Lay not burdens on any but yourself and provoke the believers. Hamas provokes the Gazans, the believers. Iran provokes the believers, Hamas. Hezbollah. This is a coordinated effort. A two-state solution is not going to solve the issue. It's not going to solve the acts of terrorism. Because once you give that two-state solution to Hamas, a terrorist organization, it's only a matter of time that they want the rest of Israel. And they are banking on that. Why? Because the useless nations, the United Nations, has shown their propensity not to support Israel. The anti-Semitism is rampant through the United Nations. And let's hope in the United States, in November, of 2024, there is a change to this administration. And we have a, we elect an administration, a Trump administration, that supports Israel, that is truly an ally of Israel. Because Joe Biden and the Obama alumni regime, they abhor Israel. They detest Netanyahu. And they have done, and yes, I'm saying Obama, and I'm saying the Biden regime have done so much to undermine the government of Israel. Even going back to 2014, when the Obama regime sent their campaign team to work against Netanyahu to undermine their free election. Because the Democrat Party doesn't believe in free elections. And that's why they're adopting all this globalization, these global views. To hell with the U.S. Constitution. And we have a United States Congress that is inept, that's deaf, dumb, and blind. Because they're all out for the same thing, a democracy. Because a democracy always degenerates into a dictatorship. And that's what they seek. They seek a dictatorship. The only true democracy in the Middle East is Israel. And why the Biden and Obama alumni fight that is is unconscionable. Why they fight a true democracy. All we hear, oh, you know, the democracy. Oh, we have to have a democracy. Oh, we have a democracy. Israel is the only true democracy in the Middle East. And yet, you have a regime, the Biden-Obama alumni regime, who seeks to destabilize Israel and supports a terrorist organization, Hamas. That is unbelievable. And yet the American Jews continue to support the Democrat Party. There should be medication for that, but the medication already given is causing enough.
No, it's people that want revolution are just jumping onto the Palestine Hamas issue and the war, and they're using that to further their cause, just like they did with George Floyd 2 years ago, just like they did to COVID. Anything to bring about revolution, chaos, and destroying the system to eventually replace it with some utopian Marxist that's never existed anywhere in the world, mirage of it's a utopian society that can't exist, and it's they may as well be hoping for a unicorn carrying a rainbow colored flag, because it's never happened anywhere else. But all it is revolution. They want to destroy our free market capitalism, where we have equal opportunity, and these sons of bitches, these Marxists, they want equal outcome. And the only way to get equal outcome is through tyranny, but there will be no equal outcome with a tyrannical government. There never has been. And the human condition, human history has nothing in practice ever to support that. So it's like this Bushnell who set himself on fire to free Palestine and to stop the genocide. Well, he's an idiot, a sad, sad idiot, because there is no genocide when a population doubles in between 2005 and 2024. Poor,
yeah.
Stupid son of a bitch.
And he's a member of the military, which means that the disinformation is running rampant. And that's okay, because the disinformation has been manufactured by the left wing. And the left wing has enlisted their violent arm, which is Antifa and Black Lives Matter, to be the violent arm and to wage these violent outbreaks all across America and throughout the world, for that matter. Antifa is pretty active in Europe. And in America, they are the violent bunch.
Yeah, and how crazy it got in Virginia.
Right. Yep.
Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears, she's the lieutenant governor, and they're on the floor in the Capitol conducting business, and Winsome Sears refers to a cross-dressing state senator, Danica Rome, as sir, because it's a man pretending to be a woman. And after two recesses and her initial refusal to apologize sent that governing body into chaos, because Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears had the audacity to call a man, even though it's a man dressing up as a woman. This is how crazy things are, and this is in the halls of government. So whether it's Israel, whether it's on the state capitol in Virginia, we're in a very precarious place in our country right now, so divided, and we are ripe for a revolution, and the revolutionaries are coming out in full force to push us over the edge. In fact, they're even so bold in New York, the communists were leading a protest of probably about 400 of them waving communist flags and linen, wearing linen T-shirts and Marx. And there used to be a day where communists were considered a subversive group. And if you were promoting communism in the United States of America, you would be arrested. We need those days back. Because it's on the books. It's a law on the books. They're a subversive group because they're trying to subvert our constitutional republic.
Yeah, I guess the First Amendment applies. The First Amendment applies to them, but the First Amendment doesn't apply to conservatives or Donald Trump, for that matter. You know, you brought up the issue of George Floyd and the protest that occurred or ensued after the Floyd death. Isn't it amazing that an illegal alien for the second time in a week took the life of a legal lawful citizen? Jose Antonio Ibarra from Venezuela went to Georgia after multiple arrests in New York City. Layling Franco, 23, also of Venezuela, told the New York Post she and Ibarra were put on a bus to New York City in September 2022 after illegally entering the U.S. near El Paso, Texas, along with Franco's five-year-old son. She said Ibarra worked for DoorDash, Uber Eats, and local restaurants, but was arrested in August on charges of endangering the welfare of a child. And, of course, New York City, being a sanctuary city, didn't prosecute. Thank you, George Soros, by the way, because he's the one that got these anti-American DAs and state's attorneys elected around the state by financing them. The Post said it was told by police it did not name that Ibarra was charged with driving a gas-powered moped while Franco's son was also riding on the moped without head protection restraints. So fast forward to 2024, this individual, Jose Antonio Ibarra, goes to Georgia, and he ends up killing an innocent white woman. And I say white woman because when you look at her in a photo, she's white. There's no protests. There's no outrage. And certainly Dopey Joe and the Obama alumni regime are silent because they don't want to bring any attention to the fact that yet another illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated alien has caused the death of an American citizen. And in this case, Jose Ibarra, let me see. Yeah, Jose Antonio Ibarra bludgeoned to death Lincoln Riley in midday for no reason at all. None. Where is the outrage by all of these civil rights organizations, the Southern Poverty Law Center? Huh? Where is the outrage by all the fucking Democrats out there, like Stacey Abrams, which it happened in her home state. Where's the outrage, okay, by Joe Biden? Is Dopey Joe too busy eating his ice cream that he really doesn't understand what's going on? Where's the outrage by Alejandro Mayorkas in the Department of Homeland Insecurity? There is no outrage. Where's the outrage by Antifa, huh? With all these protests and burning down buildings. Oh, wait a minute. It was a white cop and law enforcement. It was law enforcement that killed a black criminal. That's the way it has to be sold in order to continue the divide of race. And it's a slap in the face to America, where we've made great strides concerning race. But let's push that aside for a second. Where's the outrage of yet another illegal, unvetted alien killing a citizen of Georgia? Minding her own business. She was out jogging. Is this what we've come down to with the Biden regime? Letting in 10, 12, 15 million unvetted illegal aliens. She attended the University of Georgia. She wanted to be a nurse. Ibarra is a citizen of Venezuela. It was processed for the expedition removal, but claimed a credible fear of return to Venezuela. Really? He was consequently released from immigration custody pending adjudication of his claim for asylum on April 30, 2023. According to the New York Post, Ibarra's older brother, Diego Ibarra, has been charged with possession of a phony green card he used to get a job at University of Georgia, which said it dismissed him after subsequent paperwork was never filed. So here we have the left wing harboring illegal aliens. He fears going back to Venezuela, and yet he kills Laken Riley. All she was doing was jogging. Where is the outrage? You talk about the outrage of George Floyd and the manufactured protesting. And yet BLM is quiet. Southern Poverty Law Center is quiet. The ACLU is quiet. The Department of Homeland Security is quiet. Joe Biden and the Obama alumni regime are quiet. They're all silent. This isn't the first incident involving an illegal, unvetted alien. It's occurring time and time. A 10-year-old boy in Texas was killed by a five-time arrested illegal alien. Five times killed in a vehicle accident. A 10-year-old boy's life gone because of an illegal, unvetted alien. And our government doing nothing. Thank you, Joe Biden. Thank you, Obama alumni. You're implementing the 2030 UN agenda. And you're saying to hell with America's constitutional republic, to hell with our laws, to hell with Article 4, Section 4 of the United States Constitution. Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution is pretty clear. It states, that was Amendment 4, the United States shall guarantee to every state in the Union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. The federal government has failed under Joe Biden and the Obama alumni regime to protect America against invasion. And now it's true. Every state in the United States is a border state. This illegal alien was bussed out of New York City, a sanctuary city, for crimes he committed. The U.S. government failed to deport this individual back to his home country of Venezuela. And then a cold-hearted illegal alien kills a University of Georgia student who was simply out jogging. In Texas, a five-time illegal alien felon runs over and kills a 10-year-old boy. Of course, Al Sharpton has been silent. The Congressional Black Caucus, they're all silent. And you know, this silence by the left wing, is absolutely an orchestrated silence. Why? Because the left wing doesn't want to bring light. They don't want to bring any attention to the fact that Joe Biden's policies, that the Obama alumni regime's policies have led to America's borders being breached since January the 21st of 2021. And so the Democrat Party, so the Uniparty, the establishment goes deaf, dumb, and silent. Now, isn't it convenient that 1,133 days into the Biden and Obama alumni regime's term, that now campaign stops and photo ops are now front and center, and the Obama alumni regime are sending their little chimpanzee, Joe Biden, to Brownsville, Texas for a campaign stop? Now, Joe is mentally gone. He's mentally deficient. And he's the perfect stooge, brain dead stooge, to go to Brownsville, Texas and act as if nothing happened because he's still living in 1978. They give him a cue card. He reads from that and he knows nothing else. He doesn't know that he's not been to the border in 1,133 days, but it doesn't matter that he's been there. He'll take one fluff question or two questions, and as soon as the question gets difficult, then he'll be shuttled out. In his case, he'll shuffle out, and there'll be no accountability by a legacy media who has done a tremendous disservice to the American people. To allow an incompetent, malleable moron to be president of the United States because Joe doesn't know what's going on. And he's an Democrat Party well because he won't bring any light to the fact that he's not been to the border. And certainly the legacy media, ABC, NBC, CBS, DNC, MSNBC, DNC, CNN, they're not going to ask the tough questions because they don't care. The idea is to protect and shield Joe Biden at all costs. And so now this makes for a perfect campaign stop, just like the campaign stop last week in East Palestine, Ohio. You know, has the media held Biden accountable for not going to East Palestine, Ohio for over a year? No? And of course, Joe goes to East Palestine, Ohio, and all is well. And while the citizens of East Palestine, Ohio are outraged, that doesn't matter to the legacy media. Because as long as they don't bring light, they, the media, they, the Obama alumni regime, as long as they don't bring any light to the fact that Joe Biden has not been to East Palestine, Ohio for 1,122 days, it doesn't matter. Now they can say they were there. And during the debates, if in fact Joe Biden is the nominee and he does engage in a debate, he could say, I was at East Palestine, Ohio. And who's going to call him at the question? Are the moderators from the DNC, NBC going to say anything? No. They're all engaged in the same cover-up of this old man. So Biden makes a campaign stop 2 weeks ago. He's mentally unstable enough, and they gave him enough drugs for him to get through this quick campaign stop. And now tomorrow, there'll be a campaign stop in Brownsville, Texas. Now, mind you, the breach point is not Brownsville, Texas. It's Eagle Pass, Texas. That's one of the primary breach points for illegal aliens. Now, Joe Biden is not well enough to go there, but guess what? President Trump declared he was going to Eagle Pass, Texas. And then, of course, in order to react to that, he left the handlers. They decided they were going to send Joe down to Brownsville, Texas. Another campaign stop. You know,
well, what
one
happened
other thing,
with you?
Al. Go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, go on. Finish your thought.
I was going to say, the issue with East Palestine, Ohio is really simple, okay? You know, this particular regime, the Obama alumni regime and Joe Biden are all engaged in this climate change con game, okay? So now we have a real environmental hazard on February 3rd, 2023, when the Norfolk Southern train derails in East Palestine, Ohio. They're carrying vinyl chloride, cancer-causing substances, okay? And this the government, then sets this thing on fire. They cause even more of a health hazard, more of a climate change hazard, more of an environmental hazard. And Biden never goes down there. So, again, all this noise about climate change and the environment is all a con. It's a ruse. Because if it was really a concern, instead of dumping $85 billion into the shithole Ukraine, you do it in East Palestine, Ohio. You make sure our citizens are safe. You make sure if any of our citizens in East Palestine, Ohio are suffering from any type of medical conditions as a result of this environmental disaster, we try to make these people whole. Instead, they're focused on Ukraine and pissing away taxpayer money. Go ahead, Al.
Yeah, and I'm sure that when our president is down at the southern border, he's not going to make any mention of the Chinese border crosses that are reaching in the thousands that are illegally coming over. And these Chinese are dangerous military-aged men and women, and that is a problem that he's not even going to ignore. And part of it started with this illegal alien killer up in New York, because he was released, and this is all President Biden policies that he supports, because he was released by the NYPD. He was arrested on a felony charge, and before he could be arrested, well, he was arrested, but before a detainer could be issued. Now, the spokesman said in an email that it's part of enforcement and removal operations, and that when New York brought him in, they should have put him with ICE to get a detainer and get him deported, but the New York NYPD, they never did anything, and an immigration detainer was later filed in Georgia after the murder. Now with the detainer in place, immigration officials can take the illegal alien into custody if he's released or if he is convicted of Riley's murder after he finishes his prison term, then he would be deported. So this illegal alien is going to be a huge resource drain on our prison system and cost the taxpayers millions of dollars. And meanwhile, if you recall, there was a Marine several months ago, a Marine who stopped on the subway. He put a mentally angry and violent person on the subway, stopped him before he could hurt anybody else on the train, had the help of some of the other men on the train to help hold him down, but he put him in a chokehold, and the perp died. Well, a judge declined to dismiss the case against this Marine vet, Marine vet within this New York subway death. A judge on Wednesday declined to dismiss the case against a U.S. Marine veteran charged with manslaughter for placing a man in a deadly chokehold aboard a New York City subway train by the name of Daniel Penny, a former Marine, and he pled not guilty to charges of second degree manslaughter and criminally negligent homicide in the death of Jordan Neely, a former Michael Jackson impersonator who witnesses say was shouting and begging for money and threatening people on the train with violence. Penny pinned Neely to the ground with the help of two other passengers and held him in a chokehold for more than 3 minutes. Neely lost consciousness during the struggle. Penny said he acted to protect himself and others. His attorneys filed a motion seeking dismissal of the indictment, which was denied in court on Wednesday. This story is so important because New York prosecutor is going after a Marine hero who saved people's lives on a subway train, but meanwhile, an illegal alien commits a felony in New York City. He's immediately let go. No retainers are filed, and then off he runs to Georgia to commit more crimes and eventually murder an innocent person. And he never should have been let through at the border illegally in the first place. So all this is the result of President Biden's policies, which he knows well. He knows the implications of his policies and the chaos that it is causing, and he supports it for the simple reason that he wants, knows, and hopes that it will come true, that these millions of illegal aliens that are pouring through the border in the next several years, the Democrat Party will grant amnesty to all of these illegal aliens because there's no way they're going to be able to round them all up and deport them all because the problem will be too big. So they're going to grant them amnesty and let them come out of the shadows to live and work and prosper in the United States of America. And the majority of these illegal aliens will vote Democrat, and that will ensure a Democrat power base for decades to come. So there's nothing humanitarian about it. This is a pure political power play, and it is disgusting, and it's getting people killed, hurt, and injured by unaccountable illegal aliens, and it is disgusting. And meanwhile, a decorated Marine war hero saves people on a from harm, potential harm on a subway, and he's rotting in jail and looking at his life going to jail for years. It disgusts me to a level that I can't even articulate. It is so bad. Evil. It's evil, in my opinion.
Well, will there be any justice for Lake and Riley as a result of that illegal, unvetted alien who was let through the border, and it was let go by New York City, a sanctuary city, after committing a crime? And Holger makes a good point here. Floyd said, "I can't breathe." What did Lakin scream as Ibarra rained hell and beat that young lady to death? What was she yelling? Huh? Where are the parades? Where are the protests about what Lakin Riley was screaming?
Oh, you mean the protests to stop these illegal aliens from coming over our border illegally?
Oh, yeah.
The people that do the protests, they want this type of policy. They want these illegal aliens inside our country creating chaos, turmoil, and violence in order to further the revolution and spark the violence that hopefully will for them, in their case, they want to see a national revolution against our free market capitalism and our constitutional republic.
I'm going to play this 50-second clip from former FBI agent Dan Smoot. It sums it up well.
A constitutional republic, not a democracy. The ideal of a democracy is universal equality. The ideal of a constitutional republic is individual liberty. A democracy always degenerates into dictatorship, which promises government-guaranteed equality and security, but it delivers nothing but poverty and serfdom for the people it robs and rules. America was founded as a constitutional republic to safeguard the liberties of the people against the tyranny of democracy or of one-man dictatorship. In this century, great strides have been made toward the goal of subverting our republic into a democracy. The foremost tactic of the subverters is subversion of language. By calling America a democracy until people thoughtlessly accept and use the term, the totalitarians have obscured the real meaning of our principles of government.
Subversion of language, and that's what we're seeing. They, instead of calling illegal aliens, they are migrants. Instead of saying illegal, they're migrants. And these illegal aliens have been supported and funded by U.S. organizations, by U.S. governmental agencies, such as USAID. USAID is chaired by Samantha Power. It has a $50 billion budget. The European Union has funded illegal mass migration into the United States. They have turned a blind eye to their own invasion in Europe, in European countries, including Italy, Germany, France, Spain, Sweden, to name a few, Ireland, Scotland, England. And now the European Union has engaged in funding illegal aliens crossing into and invading the United States of America. Our U.S. Congress has been, in protecting and defending. And now Joe Biden and the Obama alumni regime have found a new scapegoat, and that is Congress. Well, Congress needs to pass laws. No, excuse me. It was Joe Biden and the Obama alumni handlers who had Joe Biden scrap the Trump policies that were working concerning keeping the border secure. And that's all the illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens were waiting for. That's all what the United Nations was waiting for, because the United Nations 2030 agenda is what the Obama alumni regime and Joe Biden are adhering to. And you take a look at what organizations the USAID are funding. Could Norwegian Refugee Council. Think about this. The Norwegian Refugee Council. Why is USAID funding Norwegian Refugee Council? Because the Norwegian Refugee Council is also a sponsor of illegal, unvetted aliens pouring through our southern border. Norwegian Refugee Council gives aid to illegal aliens who are at Darien Pass in Panama and northern Colombia. Al talked about the communist Chinese invading our border. The communist Chinese government has purchased hotels and motels along the Darien Gap all the way up through Panama into Mexico so that their citizens, their communist Chinese citizens, can find rest stops for food and shelter so they can be fresh as they pour through America's southern border. So you have USAID, run by Samantha Power, a Marxist. You have the United Nations, the UNRWA. You have the European Union. You have the Red Cross. And you have the Norwegian Refugee Council are all sponsoring illegal, unvetted aliens to go through America's southern borders, to cross in through Eagle Pass, to cross in through Arizona. And what's the response from the degenerates in Washington, D.C., including Joe Biden?
Well, Congress has to pass – no, excuse me. You took an oath of office to protect and defend the U.S. Constitution, which means that Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution, where you protect each state against invasion, constitutional duty. But when you have a system of government that wants to dismantle our constitutional republic, you turn a blind eye and you start blaming everyone else. And is exactly why Biden was installed. He's the perfect brain-dead chimpanzee to blame others. He's been an abject failure since his installation. We saw it with the abandonment of Afghanistan in 2021, right out of the box in August. His feckless foreign policies if you want to call them that, foreign policies. There is no policy. And what did he do? He blamed Trump. And that's what they do. 13 American soldiers dead as a result of Biden and the Obama alumni regime's feckless foreign policy. Their cut-and-run policy resulted in 13 American soldiers dead and perhaps thousands of Americans stranded in Afghanistan. Not only that, not only did we lose American soldier lives and American citizens trapped in Afghanistan, Communist China walks into Afghanistan after Russia, 15 years of Russia losing thousands of their citizens in Afghanistan, America losing 3,500 plus billions, perhaps trillions of dollars of American dollars pissed away in Afghanistan. Not one communist Chinese blood was dropped in Afghanistan. And communist China walks into Afghanistan and takes all the minerals and has the mineral rights in Afghanistan with their dirty deal with the Taliban. Thank you, Joe Biden. Thank you, Obama alumni regime. But if that's not enough, then we have an economy in the United States that's in collapse. Why? Because of Joe Biden and the Obama alumni's feckless policies. And, you know, again, like the border, the Biden and the Obama alumni regime, they avoid talking about the U.S. economy other than it's doing great, except gas prices are up 72%, and now they're climbing once again. And thank you, Joe Biden and the Obama alumni regime, for draining the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, draining the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to artificially lower gas prices in the United States. As a result of higher gas prices, it was higher transportation costs. Al talked about the killing of capitalism. And this is the left's goal, is to kill capitalism. A democracy always degenerates into a dictatorship. And they want to dictate, the Uniparty, the establishment, the Democrat Party, wants to be in total control. To hell with the U.S. Constitution. I know we have a on the line. And I think it is the Viking himself, and let's put him on right now. Hey-o. Good evening, Holger. How you doing?
Good. You guys sound great. It's nice to hear your voices back on the radio.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you're not kidding. It's nice to be back.
See, I'm going to be real quick here, but I couldn't let it go. I'm sitting here and, you know, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed to be an American when we have this 22-year-old woman who, from her photos, appears to be about 5'2", about 110 pounds, who's bludgeoned to death by this animal that Joe Biden led into this country, okay? And where's the fucking outrage? Where's the women's groups? Where's the pillars of society who got so upset because the 16-year-old girl couldn't get an abortion in whatever state it was, Oklahoma or Texas or whatever? I mean, where are these people? Where are the people in this country to stand up for a young 22-year-old woman? George Floyd was painted as the biggest victim in the history of this fucking country. He was 6'4", 240, with a police officer with a knee on the back of his neck. And it became the outrage of the century. We've got a 22-year-old, 5'2", girl bludgeoned to death by this animal, and I hear nothing. I hear nothing. I don't see anybody protest. I don't see any women's groups out there going, stop this madness. Absolutely silence. I'm ashamed of the fucking people of this country. Well, sit and take this bullshit. I mean, if that was my freaking daughter or my granddaughter, I'd be hunting that guy down.
Yep.
I'd be going to the jail he's in. It absolutely pisses me off. I was sitting here and I thought to myself, I can't even remember the name. I don't know if you remember that gal that got killed on that wharf in San Francisco when the illegal came and shot her through the head.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I can't even remember her name. How many people can't remember George Floyd's name? You know, the fact
right.
that every female journalist in this country should be wearing a paper bag on their heads for not covering this story of this young girl who can't even go out for a jog, for God's sake, without being beaten to death. I mean, can you think of a worse way to die than to have some guy, some stranger attack you and beat you to a pulp until you are dead? But no, I'm supposed to feel sorry for a drugged up 6'4", 240-year-old guy who's got some scrawny police officer with a knee on the back of his neck. This is bullshit. That's all I
yep.
got.
Well stated, Holger. Well stated.
It's got to change, man. I'm telling you, when this country sticks their heads in the ground and ignores this kind of stuff, it tells you what kind of people we are. When a 6'4", 240-pound black man gets the sympathy of 300 million people, but a 22-year-old, 5 foot, 210-pound girl gets nothing.
Well, so here we have the situation, and it's really clear. Now, if you kind of break it down, you have a Marxist movement that wants to defund police, and it's law enforcement. So what better way to condemn law enforcement than with a black man dying at the hands of law enforcement? Doesn't matter that he was a criminal. He was a career criminal. And now you have a situation where the Democrat Party is responsible, because it's Joe Biden, okay? The Democrat Party is responsible for the illegal alien invasion into the United States. And for 1,133 days, the Democrat Party has done their best to shield and deflect away from Joe Biden negligence in an open border. And so if they, the left wing, shows any type of outrage, okay, over the killing of Lake and Riley, then it brings light to the fact that they, the Democrat, the left wing, has been negligent in allowing America to be invaded. So the best thing to do is for the left wing and for the legacy media to go silent. Just avoid it, because you know what, Holger? In another week, okay, Lake and Riley's name will go down like Kate Steinle's name. And
yep.
no one will remember either name. And then this
exactly.
illegal alien will be found guilty in Georgia, and he'll go to jail, and the Georgia taxpayers will go ahead and fund this bastard for 25 years, and then he'll get out, and he'll just be part of society until he commits another crime 2 weeks after he gets out. Instead of deporting him when he's done with his 25-year, or he should be put to death is what it should be, but they should also deport his entire chain of family that they find, including his brother and any other child that he may have, okay, in the United States. Just deport them all. That's a good start right there. And then put this guy Ibarra to death, because he's out. He has, one, abused the rule of law, and then murdered an innocent individual, and that should not be tolerated in a civil society. But you know what? The Marxist movement, the anti-American movement, is not to bring light to this because of Joe Biden's negligence, the Obama alumni regime's negligence, Alejandro Mayorkas's negligence.
Well, and I think as conservatives in this country, we have to we have to continue to point out the hypocrisy of the actions of these people. Because, for example, I mean, they want everybody in the country right now to think that the Democrat Party, Joe Biden, all that, they're the ones on the side of women. You know, reproductive choice, IVF. Oh, we're the ones, you know, we're the ones fighting for our women in this country. But they just as you said, they won't remember this Lakin's name in 3 weeks. It'll be erased from history. So we have to point out the hypocrisy of what they say, the lies of what they say. You know, it's beyond me how they get away with this stuff. You know, without paying the price for their hypocrisy, the fact that women apparently in America are just fine and dandy with a 23-year-old girl getting beaten to death. You know, it's kind of like it. And I'll just end with this. It's kind of like when all of a sudden years ago the young girls in Britain started being groomed when they started falling prey to the Muslims coming in from Pakistan, and they were the grooming gangs were getting these girls into prostitution and killing them and abusing them and raping them and so forth. And I mean, it went on for years without anything happening. And I mean, what does that say about your society when you watch a 14-year-old girl be basically sold into sex slavery by these ghouls and just turn the other way, ignore the situation? I mean, every conservative in America should have a bumper sticker tomorrow saying, "Remember Lake and Riley." My final point is this, is the majority of Americans called complete bullshit on the defund the police movement that happened in this country, okay? Even when Joe Biden inadvertently agreed with the philosophy of defunding the police, the American people were against that. And that's when you saw the left all of a sudden turn completely around and start to not talk about it and kind of back out of it a little bit and all this kind of good stuff. Okay, the same should happen on this. In other words, what you're saying is right about these, about them ignoring the border, letting these people in and paying the price, but we're not holding them accountable for it. We're not putting it in their face every single day. And I don't mean to, you know, to use this young woman, you know, politically. But at this point, we almost have to, because it's the only way the American people are going to learn the lesson of who they are supporting. These people are monsters.
Yep.
So that's all I got. Thanks. Carry on.
Well, thanks for the rant, Tozer. You bring up a great
good
point.
Good call.
See you
Thank
later.
You. He does bring up a great point. And,
great point. What should be, but it's not, because revolution is what the majority want, and the prosecutors in these cities are allowing chaos to run wild.
You know, I'm rereading, and I'm trying to really digest the manifesto that was written by the Weather Underground called Prairie Fire. And it's really alarming to me that the two domestic terrorists, Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers, who co-authored the Prairie Fire in 1968, who then launched the political career of one Barack Hussein Sotoro Obama. What was written in 1968 is something that is coming to fruition today, 68 to 72, sorry.
And it's amazing how the Marxist movement, that mentality, the anti-American, anti-capitalism, anti-free enterprise mentality, was something that the Weather Underground, Bernadine Dorn, Bill Ayers, and Barack Hussein Sator Obama all prescribed to. They subscribed to that radical movement. And, you know, they've aligned themselves with George Soros and these anti-American globalists who want to dismember the U.S. Constitution. And I swear I'll never forget the words of Charles Krauthammer, may he rest in peace, in 2009 when he stated that Barack Obama will seek to systematically dismantle the U.S. Constitution. And, you know, I didn't realize how prophetic that statement was. And then when you read Prairie Fire, you see how the radicalization of these anti-Americans truly is. And all you got to do is look around to the state's attorneys. You know, that Chase Bowdoin, that was the state's attorney in San Francisco, who has since been recalled by the liberals in San Francisco because he implemented this chaotic, it's not even justice, okay, where they were letting criminals off. And the people of San Francisco had enough of it. But guess what? Chase Bowdoin is a product of the Weather Underground movement. The Weather Underground movement, his mother and father, Chase Bowdoin's mother and father, were part of the Weather Underground, and they went to jail for robbing a Brinks truck, I believe, and then killing the driver. So who raised Chase Bowdoin? Well, the people who raised Chase Bowdoin were Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, two other domestic terrorists. And then as this kid got his law degree, he was then financed by George Soros to in his bid to become state's attorney in San Francisco. And then to undermine the rule of law and to allow this chaos to occur. And we see this chaos. Matter of fact, the chaos in San Francisco was so bad under Chase Bowdoin that you had companies were moving out of San Francisco proper, including Walgreens, including high-end department stores, because they were getting robbed on a regular basis. And again, this zero prosecution law that was put in place by these radicals, okay, has caused the chaos that we're seeing in the big cities around the country. Whether it's Letitia Soros James in New York City, or it was the broad down in Fannie Willis in Georgia, you know, all of these individuals have been sponsored and financed by George Soros and his radical anti-American open society organization. So it is really no coincidence what we're seeing occur today. And I'm absolutely alarmed at the playbook that was written in 1968 to 1971 by the Weather Underground called Prairie Fire, and how we are living it today, because these radicals from the late 60s and early 70s became teachers. And they became teachers in education institutions across America, including the University of Chicago, including universities like Columbia, including schools across the country. And this radical anti-American sentiment was a centerpiece for the progressive movement. And what we're seeing occurring today, and this lawlessness and the absolute disregard and disrespect of the U.S. Constitution, is all by design. And I'll tell you, if the American people can, absolutely, we the people can get organized, if we the people can come out in droves, and if we can reject this radicalism and reelect Donald Trump as the 47th president of the United States, I truly believe that he will clean house. And I really do believe that these Marxists that are embedded in the government, these bureaucrats who are all in there in the U.S. government, and they're infecting with their radical anti-American policies, we can truly
affect change in the United States. And yes, moving, evict the United Nations, okay? Send the United Nations and Hank, what's his name, from Georgia, okay, to Guam. And let Guam tip over and worry and let Hank Jones figure out if it's going to tip over or not. The useless nations is absolutely sponsoring financially, and we give money to the useless nations, and they are helping to fund the invasion of the United States, all under their 2030 agenda, all under the globalization movement that's been put forth by the United Nations, by the World Economic Forum, and these left-wing organizations that George Soros is funding. Oh, he's a philanthropist. Yeah. And we're seeing around the United States the effect of this progressive philanthropy that's turned into Marxism. And at some point in time, even the left-wing individuals reject this radicalism as they did in San Francisco in recalling Chase Bowden. But don't lose sight that it was George Soros who funded this radicalism. It's George Soros who funded Letitia James in New York City. It's George Soros who funded Fannie Willis in Georgia. It's George Soros who funded the state's attorney down in Central Florida, who funded the district attorney in Los Angeles. And what are we seeing in those areas? You know, a cop killer several years ago down in Orlando, this cop killer point blank shot this sergeant 5 times while she laid on the ground and she begged for her life. And the state's attorney, who was funded, got $1 million from George Soros' Open Society, refused the death penalty from Marquise Floyd. And then Governor Rick Scott removed her from the case and wanted Marquise Lloyd prosecuted for the death penalty for killing his girlfriend, the unborn child, and the Orlando City police officer. The radicalism by George Soros to undermine the rule of law. And we use that term rule of law, or I should say the left wing uses that term, that cliche rule of law. Well, that rule of law, they have breached that rule of law. They have abused that rule of law. They have made their own rule of law in going after Donald Trump. They are trying to break Donald Trump. You know, I wondered why people were asking, where did Letitia Soros James get the $375 million number that she wanted to have Donald Trump and the Trump Organization find? Well, you know what, folks? If you let these imbeciles talk long enough, they let you know what their objective was. And Letitia Soros James, the motive is to break Donald Trump. Because she said today, if Trump doesn't pay the $454 million fine, she will seek to confiscate his New York real estate properties. And you see, that is the end game by the radical anti-Americans like Letitia Soros James, like Judge Arthur Engoron. That is their end game. There is no rule of law. It is their law. And they seek, unilaterally sought, to break and bankrupt Donald Trump. Why? Because he dared take on the establishment. Why? Because they know that the appeal of Donald Trump is to we the people. Why? Because remember, with the Democrat Party, with the Uniparty, with the cabal, a democracy always degenerates. Guess what becomes null and void? Our constitutional republic. It is why Joe Biden and the Obama alumni regime have ignored Article 4, Section 4. It is why the Obama alumni and Joe Biden, they ignore Article 6, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution, the Supremacy Clause. The U.S. Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and judges shall be bound thereby. Well, folks, judges are not. These left-wing judges like Arthur Moron, Engoron, they're not. They don't care about the rule of law. You know, Barack Hussein Sotor Obama in 2014 squashed the Tea Party. He weaponized the Department of Justice. He weaponized the Internal Revenue Service to break the Tea Party. And they were successful in doing so. And now the objective by Biden and the Obama alumni regime is to break and bankrupt Donald Trump and break Making America Great. Can you even comprehend how American politicians are so opposed to making America great? Can you even comprehend how we have elected officials in Washington, D.C. who would rather make Mogadishu great, make Somalia great, but if you say make America great, right away they say you're racist. Making America great empowers all Americans, irrespective of race, color, and creed. Making America great empowers man to enjoy the fruits of his labor or her labor. Making America great places America first, as it should be. But this regime, the Obama alumni regime and Joe Biden, they could care less about making America great. It's how do they enrich themselves. Nancy Pelosi, her husband's engaged in stock trading, makes over $3 million inside of a month. Is there any question about insider trading, especially given the two accounts he was trading? Nope. It's about Donald Trump. How do we get Donald Trump? And that's the end game by these anti-Americans in Congress and in the Biden-Obama alumni regime. It's disgraceful, Al. It's absolutely disgraceful.
And the plagiarism on college campuses. There's another professor at Harvard within the DEI program that just got busted for plagiarism, and nothing's going to happen to her. Now, it used to be that in academia, plagiarism was the career kiss of death because you're stealing someone else's intellectual property, using it as your own to further your academic career, and there is nothing. Used to be, there's nothing worse than that. Even if you were a student when you were in college, if you got caught plagiarizing anything, not only would you fail, you would likely be kicked out of school, as you should be. But this is where our academic, Ivy League academic institutions have already been compromised and corrupted. Speaking of insider trading, there's another couple that worked at home. The husband he worked from home in another room in his office. His wife, she was worked for British Petroleum, and she was in their securities division. They were having a conference call, and the husband overheard the wife talking to during a Zoom call about taking over another company. And so he went and he bought stock in this other company, and they made over $1 million on the insider trading. Well, they're looking at jail time. The wife got fired from her job, even though none of this was her doing, according to the story. But I mention the story because Nancy Pelosi and the insider trading of congressmen and senators goes unchecked, unadjudicated. No charges are ever filed. So this is where our institutions are getting compromised. And even 2 years ago, when a lot of our callers were calling in and talking about the Uniparty, and I was the We're not there yet, guy. Well, let me tell you, we are there, and we are surpassed it. And the fact that Rona McDonald, Rona McDaniel, that she's out of the Republican Party, that was 3 years too long. But she's finally out, and she's a rhino. So there's so many problems within our institutions and our systems, whether it be the prosecutorial, whether it be the legislative, executive, and even within our law enforcement, trying criminals and putting them away. We're in a very precarious place historically. How it turns out, I don't know, but Holger is 100% right. It's time for the people to rise up and show discontent, because that's the only thing that our elected politicians are going to fear, is them losing their jobs or getting voted out of office.
Yeah, isn't it funny that Rona Romney McDaniel made it official today. She's stepping down effective March 8th. And it was a result of President Trump trouncing former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley in the South Carolina Republican primary. Now, some may try to spin it that Nikki Haley had she got 40% of the vote. She got 39% of the vote. And that 39% of the people in South Carolina rejected Trump. Excuse me. He gets 58% of the vote, 59% of the vote. And he clearly trounces Haley, whose Hindenburg Haley's campaign is done. Now, what's even worse is not only did Rona McDaniel get the message that Donald Trump is going to be the nominee, but the Koch brothers, okay, they have now pulled funding out of the Hindenburg Haley campaign. So she lost Reed's, as a financier, another establishment anti-Trumper. He pulled funding prior to the South Carolina primary, and now the Koch brothers have pulled out of the Hindenburg Haley campaign. So Rona McDaniel has seen the writing on the wall, and she now has agreed to step down, which clears the way for President Trump to designate the appointees to the Republican National Committee, including Lara Trump as co-chair. So let's see if President Trump has success in the two individuals that he would like to replace Rona McDaniel. President Trump has dispatched, the lightweights in 2016, and he dispatched the establishment players in 2024. So the Uniparty is actually reeling right now. But you know what? The American people are tired. They're tired of this bully pulpit by the left wing. They're tired of the lies and the disinformation that emanate from the Biden and Obama alumni regime. They're tired of the inaction by the so-called mainstream media, which is nothing but a legacy media. They're tired. We are tired of this. President Trump is being railroaded all because he's an outsider. He's not part of the good old boy system. And you can see it clearly in how the establishment, how the Uniparty rallies around the Joe Biden's feckless policies that have absolutely cost the American people thousands of dollars over the last 1,133 days. Excuse me. Well, that's the cue, folks. We're down to the last four minutes of our show. I want to thank you all for joining us this evening. Thankfully, Blog Talk Radio worked today. No technical difficulties. On Wednesday, we got Hank Jones and Polly Sports. Check out Hank at 6 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Global Patriot Radio. Grandpa Jones will be ecstatic, I'm sure. On Saturday, we have the beautiful Christy and Minister Simon Dakdak with the Straight Ray of Grace Ministry. If you want to understand Islam, you want to understand Christianity, Minister Simon Dakdak is an expert on both. He does an absolute fantastic job. He understands Islam. He speaks Arabic, which is the biggest threat to the intolerant organizations of the Muslim Brotherhood. I want to thank Bigfoot, our big patriot. Go to bigfootsplace.blogspot.com, www.bigfootsplace.blogspot. Bring it on, boy. Moving forward. Nice to see you moving. Esotericism, nice to see you. Thanks for joining us. Snowman James. I think we got Bring It On, Boy. The Alaskan Boyd, nice to see you, Boyd. Hey, some other shows on Blog Talk Radio include Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio. Check out her show with author Curtis Bennett on Blog Talk Radio Friday afternoons from 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Great shows. Annie does a great job, the deplorable radio chick. Thursday evenings, Audrey Russo at audreyrusso.com. She's a great American, great show. She has a great sidekick, Mr. P. What a great rant. Check out Joe. He's got a show on Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m., Restoring Our Republic. Check out Joe's show on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, Sue from New Mexico. Thank you for tweeting out our shows. We appreciate it. Thank you, everybody in podcast land. And thank you for your patience in us getting back on the air today. Al, any parting shots?
Adios, amigos. Have a great week, and we will see you next Monday.
Yes, we'll see you next Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Hank Jones just stepped in the house, so welcome, Grandpa Jones. And I know I forgot somebody in the chat room. I apologize. Texas Ron and, of course, Snowman James. So, anyways, thank you all for joining us. You all be safe out there. God bless you guys. And remember, tomorrow, the Michigan primary. Let's send a message. We the people are going to make America great again. Let's send a resounding message. Go get him up there in Michigan. God bless you all. Ciao, everybody. Frankie, take us out. He truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows, I took the blow. You know, this should be President Trump's theme song. I took the blows and did it my way.
And I don't think Frank would say a thing.
Heck no. Fellow New Yorker, right? Well, that's true. He's New Jersey. I forgot.
You know, that would be a great comeback song for him.
Yep. He did it, and he did it his way. There's no doubt about it.
No, not at all.
That was right.
But I didn't realize how bad things were until we started laying it all out on the table. Holy mackerel.
Yeah, sorry. You know.
No, I mean, it's just the way that it is. It seems it's just getting just the way it is.
Yeah, it's the way it is. And it's all by design. We know that. And it's, you know, as I guy stated, you know, I saw the headline today in Drudge, you know, and of course he was quoting the Hindenburg Haley comments about, you know, 40% of the South Carolinians had rejected, you know, President Trump. It's like, that's a pretty stupid comment. You got trounced in your home state. You didn't even get 40% of the vote. And President Trump walks away. He absolutely trounces you. And, you know, it's like you lose your another primary sponsor, billionaire Koch brothers, who, you know, to this day, I still I fail to understand how the Koch brothers
and this other guy, Reed, and I can't remember the guy's name, how they reject Donald Trump and the fact that Trump is a corporate guy, a business guy. And all he's done is, one, to help create jobs, to bring lower fuel costs, energy costs, and to place America first. And this should be the primary goal. How in the hell do the Koch brothers, can continue to reject Donald Trump? Maybe Sue can answer that question. I don't know. Hi, Sue. Good evening.
Hey, hi. You know one thing they did, and this came out of CNN poll, 60% of those who voted for Haley in South Carolina were Democrats. I think that needs to be stressed. They did an exit polling. And you know in South Carolina, if a Democrat does not vote in a Democrat primary, then they have the right to vote in Republican primary. So out of that 40%, 60% of those were Democrats. And
wow.
Haley is being funded by the Democrats. That's who wants Haley to run. And she's one of the most despicable people I have ever seen. I can't even stand to listen to her on, the television anymore. And Fox News is pushing Haley, Nikki Haley. And, there are no mainstream news medias out there right now really pushing for Trump. I mean, on Fox News, you do have Ingram and you have Hannity and and even Hannity, not that much, who are kind of pushing for Trump. But I tell you, the other day I was watching when some primary, Trump was giving one of his speeches, and Neil Cavuto, have you ever heard him?
Oh,
they took him off air real quick. Did you hear him? I mean, I was so shocked, and he was off air so quick. Of course, it was right to the late. And I went back to Cavuto and Fox News, and he's been a major anti-Trumper for even when
years.
Trump was in office, But did you hear that? Did you hear what he was saying?
Actually, I did not, because I know from the last go around that Cavuto is an anti-Trumper, which is really surprising for a guy who professes to be a free market guy.
Right.
I really find it troubling that Cavuto could be that anti-Trump.
Well, I wanted to put that out on X or Twitter, whatever you call it. You can find that part. Fox has totally, you can see him on that segment, and they're going through the results and everything. Did not put it on YouTube what he had said, but it was the most shocking thing I have ever heard in my life. He said, I am not going to let Trump stand up there and lie. He was voted out of office. There was no stealing, of the office. I mean, it was absolutely shocking. But I mean, even Fox News, you can't really watch them too much. I don't know. And I was wondering, who do you guys think he's going to pick for his VP?
Well, I was of the opinion that he would look at, he's looking heavily at Tim Scott. But I also heard a name today, J.D. Vance of Ohio, and I thought Ohio is a pretty interesting, battleground state. And if J.D. Vance can turn turn the tide in Ohio and in the Midwest, that certainly might be a really good choice. But I was thinking that Tim Scott would be the front runner. But J.
J.D. Vance would be another interesting choice.
You know, I don't know. I think going that way, we would be looking at another Pence. You know, I really do. I think you need someone really dynamic who really wants to go after. You can't pick a vice president hoping that he'll turn one or two of, you know, like the big states. I personally think Trump pretty much has all of the states. What's going to make the difference is if they can get out and they can vote in such masses that they can't do what they did the last election. And one thing that we need to start promoting, you know, whether it's on X or in your shows and stuff, what the Republicans have to do, and I hope with the new whoever takes over the RNC, is they can no longer report the exit polls and the votes until the very end. Because when they do the early reporting like they've been doing, that lets the Democrats know how many votes they need to get in by mail. That has to stop. I wish that no votes would be reported until the exit polls have, you know, the polling places all over have been stopped. And didn't we at one time do that they couldn't report anything? Wasn't that close to when all that stuff happened with Bush? And said you can't.
It was after the 2000 election, and it was Peter Jennings who called the state of Florida with 1% of the vote in, I believe, and they called it for Gore.
Yeah.
And the idea behind that was with the time, there's two time zones in Florida, and the panhandle is generally conservative. Now, they can't overtake what happens in Broward and Dade County. However, if you get the vote out in the panhandle, that can dilute the liberal vote. And so Peter Jennings and ABC News called the race for Gore, and people were literally leaving the line in the panhandle to vote. And it was I know one of the House members at the time. They actually dispatched a couple of the members of the Florida House and Senate who actually went to the polling places and were encouraging people to remain in line, that they did not believe that Gore won and they called the state too early and that you could stay in line till 7 o'clock. And that's what people did. They stayed in line, and it was that whole maneuver by ABC News was planned. So go ahead. Sorry, I didn't get a little history there.
But didn't right after that happened and we went through what we went through, wasn't there several elections or so where they wouldn't call the results or anything until all over the United States, the polls, you know, all the voting had stopped? I think that's really important that we do that, because if they start, you know, giving out, Trump has, 70 or 80% in, say, Georgia, you know, and we're going to declare him the winner, well, then that lets the Democrats know, okay, we've got to manufacture at least X amount of votes.
Yes,
you're
correct.
And that's what they did the last time. So I think there really has to be a push for that. And let me tell you, I sent you the link. You probably wasn't online. But, you know, I watch ABL. You've seen him. You know who I'm talking about. Logan on YouTube. Well, he had a live on Friday. Oh, my God. I wish you could have been in there and been a part of that live. But the whole thing was coming down to who was going to be the vice president, his pick. And the people there was, 6,000-7,000, I think, in the chat, and he had done a polling, a live polling then and everything. And they're going for Vivek, is that how you say his name?
Vivek, yeah, Ramaswamy.
Yeah.
Vivek.
Yep. Yeah, they're going for him. And then surprisingly, Ben Carson got 24%. But I don't think Ben Carson will want to take that on as vice president. And I don't think he's fiery enough, although I do think he would do a good job. You know, yes, but that's who, you know, it really seems. And I don't know. I don't know how I feel about him doing that, you know. What do you think about him?
I like Carson. I think he did a good job as health, you know, secretary. There's no baggage. He doesn't bring baggage to the ticket. But will he bring in votes? I don't know. You know, could a Kristi Noem bring in more votes? Yeah.
She was not liked. Let me tell you, she was not liked. In that live chat I went, and this ABL, he has over what he's going on. He gets close to 2 million viewers now, and so he's got a pretty wide range. And I find what he does and says and what the people in there say is pretty much right on. They do not like her. They don't. But Vivek, he's the one that everybody was really going on and on about. I don't think Ben Carson, I don't think he's the one, you know, who could do it, although I think he would be honorable, and I think Trump could trust him. But I'm almost hoping he will get Vivek, vice president.
The only thing about Vivek Ramaswamy is it's the unknown, you know. Because and what
right.
I mean by that is, you know, J.D. Vance has been an ardent supporter of President Obama. That's what Trump needs this go around. I think, you know, you could get a Pence, you know, out of a Vivek, and but then you might get somebody who's, as you know, he's passionate without a doubt. You know, Vivek is passionate, but you know what. What does he bring to the table? Right now, it's an unknown. That's it. I mean, he's saying the right thing.
Well,
he's a good debater.
I don't equate him at all to Pence. I mean, he is definitely not Pence. If he's, you know, he's not going to stab him in the back. I don't know quite what he would do. But I think when you're looking at some of these other kind of, like, who is the one you mentioned before? Isn't that person a lot more like unknown Pence? I wasn't comfortable with Pence when he first picked Pence. I think we had had a brief conversation, and then I had kind of come around to, well, you know, okay, maybe Pence is okay. But I never fully trusted Pence. But whoever he picks, it's going to have to be somebody who is well-known and who can get out there. And I think it's going to have to be someone who is possibly a lot like Trump himself on the campaign trail.
Correct. Absolutely. And I think, you know, you're right in that regard. And that's why, you know, it's going to be tough. Tulsi Gabbard's going to be tough. I hope he doesn't go down that road.
They didn't like her at all. Gabbard, no. I mean, they were slaying that woman, saying, walk out for her, let me tell you. You know, and I mean, I hadn't really all these, you know, I was just picking up from what people were saying, you know, in the chat. And the chat goes pretty fast, you know. But it was really an eye-opener to see, you know, these are just, and then he has people call in, you know, towards the end of the show, I think for about an hour, people actually call in and say, you know, what they think and everything. Al would enjoy him because he had some call in. He likes to go at him just like Al does when you get, you know, kind of a creep calling in, and he won't let him off, you know, and it's like, no, 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 sir, you be quiet, you answer my question, this is the question, you know. And so when he goes into that mode, I think of Al immediately.
Self-defense, Sue. What about Carrie Lake? Yeah. Do you like, what about Carrie Lake? What do you think of her?
I like Carrie Lake. I don't think she's interested in it. They didn't even bring up her name. And I think from what I've been seeing on X and everywhere else, she isn't interested in that. For right now, she wants to straighten up her state and be vindicated, and she wants to be elected there. I think she would be interesting. That because, and I hate to say it, because she is white and everything else. Yes, she is a woman, but I don't think she would add that much, you know, to it at all. And I was very surprised how pretty much anti-DeSantis they were. You know, I really thought that, you know, when, and he did mention DeSantis was part of, you know, well, these are possible people, and, you know, Trump put out a list of possible VP, and he had DeSantis on that list. Trump did. He put his name in there. But people were not interested whatsoever about DeSantis. So I, and the reason being was because he's not a good campaigner, is what they said. It's not so much his leadership or anything else, but he just is not a good campaigner. And they're all pretty much saying that's who Trump needs, is someone who's going to be a really good campaigner. You know, how much is Trump going to actually be out there campaigning as all of these trials start, you know, coming? And they're going to be coming more and more. They're going to try to keep him off the campaign trail by having him in court. So he's going to need somebody who's really dynamic and who is going to pick up, you know, where he can't be there and get that enthusiasm going. Anyway, I don't mean to keep you for a long time, but these are just some things, you know, I found interesting, and I wanted to know kind of, you know, what you, your thoughts were and things like that. I don't know if you'd want to bring something like that up in one of your shows and everything. It would just be, you know, kind of really interesting. And have you thought any more of getting some guests on your show?
Yes, that's a, you know, yes, but we can't do it. It looks like we can't do it on a holiday day, like a Monday holiday day, because it seems like that's when Blog Talk has been going out. So, you know, we got to make sure we do it at a correct time. One other thing. I think that anybody who's on Trump's list, or they're saying is on Trump's list, who resides in Florida, will not be chosen as vice president, because the vice president and president cannot live in the same. And at this point, Trump's not going to go back to New York. So I think Byron Donalds is out, and I think Ron DeSantis is out. So I think
right.
Yeah.
Do you think if it wasn't because of that, do you think DeSantis would be a good running mate at this time for Trump? What I'm hoping is Trump gets DeSantis into his administration in some, you know, really dynamic way, and that opens the door for him running for president later. But, you know, DeSantis really isn't a good campaigner. You know, I don't know what, he's just kind of lackluster and everything, you know. I don't know if it was because of the PACs who were behind him or quite what happened, but, you know, it just didn't work. And it's truly sad, because he is a good leader and good at implementing things.
He just, you know, he had very, very poor advice, I think, and he shouldn't have listened. Yeah. He should have just remained in Florida as governor and supported Trump, and then let the chips fall where they may. What he ends his, you know, he ends his term in 2026, and it'd be a perfect opportunity for any type of changes in a Trump administration, because 2 years, many people do find, you know, they say that that's enough, and it would be a good time for him to make that transition.
Right. Right.
And still,
you know,
stay relevant.
I mean, that was just tragic, and they played him. You know, I think they really played him, because I think that the powers to be, you know, the establishment, were almost as afraid of DeSantis as they were of Trump. And so this was their way of taking him out. And he didn't see it coming.
Interesting. That's, I didn't think about that one. Huh.
Yeah.
All
great
right.
Point.
Well, anyway, thanks for taking my call and everything, you know. I hope you're following Gold Baron. Drew, she writes for Canada Free Press, but she's here also. But she's really got her fingers on a lot of things, including Islam. She puts out things about Islam also. She understands Islam really well. And so I would just love to actually get to hear her for a little bit speak. You know, I can get so much what I can on X and talking to her and reading her articles. But she's written quite a few books, too. My eyesight is so bad I can't read anymore, so I have to do Audible books. And so far her books haven't come out on Audible, so I haven't been able to actually, you know, read or see what her books are, but they look like they're pretty good. I don't know how many she's written, 6 or 7, but she's pretty prolific writer.
Yeah, I was surprised. Anyway. She has a good resume. So yeah, thanks for turning on, you know, to her, because she really does have a nice resume.
Yeah. Anyway, well, thanks. And
okay.
It was a good show, and I really enjoyed it. And Al, you've been awfully quiet while I've been running my mouth.
Oh, I've been just taking it in. You've come up with some good points I hadn't considered, so I didn't want to interrupt.
Yeah. You know, I just think I'd like to, the vice president, you know, to me, that's going to be really, really important, because I think their game plan is to tie Trump up in court so he can't be out on the campaign trail. So whoever his vice president is, it has to be a very dynamic person, you know. And Vivek, if you don't like him or you do, he really gets out there and says some things that really get people going. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, I'll let you go. Yeah.
All
you
right,
need
Sue.
To get a hold of Trump my way. Yeah, that's a great idea. That should be his campaign song.
Right?
Okay. Bye,
all right.
You too. Thank you.
Take care.
All
yourself.
Right. Have a great week, Sue.
You too.
All right, Al. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Have a great week.
Yeah, thanks. You as well. And
we'll talk
later in the week.
Sounds good. Bye for now.